Kind Father, I love you, I bless you, I magnify you, I adore you. I place none other before you, God. I need you like never before. Please be with us. Please be with me as I get ready to share your word. Minister to me. Minister through me. Let your Holy Spirit reign, rule, rest, and abide itself inside of me, God. You be in my words. You be in my thoughts. You be in my mouth. Let everything that I say be pleasing to your sight. Let somebody be touched. Somebody be saved, delivered, set free, and made whole through the words that are coming from your vessel, God. I just yield myself. I get myself out of the way that you may be glorified in me. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Good morning, City Reach. Thank you so much for joining with us. Thank you for taking the time out to sit down, to worship with us. I hope you enjoyed worship. Hope you enjoyed your time of fellowship with us and with each other and with your family. Hope you are enjoying your family. They are not getting on your nerves. Your children are back to school. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe they may not be back to school in the same way that we would like. We'd want them out of the house. I know for me, in my house, we want our kids out of the house and in school. But things are different, and so hope you guys are enjoying your time together. Thank you for joining with us. Listen, we are going to continue on with the series we started at the beginning of the month called Good Trouble, which is take off of this a CNN special, a autobiography movie that's coming out next Sunday. Check it out on CNN, I believe at 9 o'clock, by Senator John Lewis, called Good Trouble, and it's a biography of his work and his movement that the civil rights movement that he played a part in. He was a key official, a key member of that movement. And so we could take that as well, not just for civil rights, but for our rights as well, even in Christian, because everything that John Lewis did, he related back to Christ. He related back to God. He related back to love. Because if you don't know it, if you know it or not, he actually wanted to be a preacher when he was growing up. He used to grow up preaching to the chickens. And he used to get the chickens saved. And I guess they started running away. So he said, forget, I can't do that. I can't save the chickens. And we go try to be a senator. So, you know, that's where he is at right now. So he, as you know, he passed last month. And we just honor him and his work that he has done. And we are going to continue on with our series of Good Trouble. First, we talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how they got into good trouble for standing up for what God said was right and for what God's law was, and not bowing down to the fake gods of Nebuchadnezzar. We talked about the prophet Amos, and how he got into good trouble telling the people of Israel what they didn't want to hear. About how they need to shape up and get their act together and get their self together, because the way they were worshiping and the way they were treating the poor, the way they were treating the elderly and things like that were not right. The way they were worshiping, God was not pleased with. So he had to actually get in good trouble and tell the people that you love and you tell your family members sometimes what they don't want to hear. And sometimes that's what you have to do to get in good trouble. So we are actually going to continue on, talk about another key character who got into good trouble for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the cause, for the sake of God. Side note, little story. How many people out there like going shopping? And I'm not just talking about any kind of shopping where we do a lot of online shopping now, where you just click on Amazon, you order it, boom, 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 and you're done, and the stuff is delivered within a matter of days or whatever, depending on if you have Prime or not. I'm talking about actually getting up, get in the car, loading the family up, and you're going out to the shopping place. And I'm not talking about the mall. I'm talking about like Columbus or those markets or Englishtown. We used to have Englishtown back in the day. We'd go to Columbus Market where you would actually like to bargain for the things that you wanted to get for. See, my wife was waving her hand. How many people like actually go up? And that it's like the fun of it. Or you would go to those garage sales and those yard sales. Yeah, I don't like that. I pay what the price is what I think that's what it is, and I pay that. I don't like to haggle. My wife loves that. It's like she doesn't like to pay full price. She likes to bargain to get what she wants. She doesn't think it's like you know, when she sees those price on the sticker on the item that she wants to buy, for her, that's not a price as a suggestion. And so, you know, excuse me, as, you know, we're trying not to be distracted here as we're taping today. But mom is calling us. I love you, Mom. God bless you. I know you're going to see this. And as you see this, I want you to chuckle and laugh because you are calling while we're trying to record today's sermon. God bless you, Mom. All right. So getting back to Holly and her suggested shopping habits. So imagine, if you will, you're Jesus and you're coming back and you're going into Jerusalem for a time of celebration, of a time of worship. And this is shortly after the great celebration where Palm Sunday, where they came in, they were celebrating him, shouting Hosanna, putting the palms down, putting the cloaks down on the ground. They put him up on a coat and he was went into the town and everybody was celebrating him. So the next day he comes back and he goes into goes toward the temple. But what happened was the temple wasn't really before he got to the temple, he got to a marketplace. And he got upset because of the way they were haggling and charging for things, the items that they needed for in order for worship. Let's go to the scripture. We're going to go into the 11th chapter of the book of Mark. Mark 11, and we're going to start at the 15th verse. I'm coming out of the New King James Version today. So here we go. So they came to Jerusalem, and then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. He would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. And then he taught them, saying to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it into a den of thieves?" And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because of all the people were astonished at his teachings. So as we read this scripture and as we talk about this text and we think about what Jesus went through, imagine what he might have felt. He's on his way to worship and he's on a way to worship God and pays do the sacrifice. And what happened was there are all these people he went through Columbus and everybody's, you know, haggling for the pay for the doves, haggling to pay for the sheep, to pay for the things that they want to get on trading coins and buying things and items and things like that. And then everybody's, you know, paying this price or paying that price to get stuff that they needed for a sacrifice, something they needed for in order to worship unto God. And what was happening was, is that a lot of the people that were selling things, the items, the people that were selling the items were actually charging over and above what the items were actually worth. And what happened was they were allowed to do that because the chief priests that were in charge of the temple were getting a kickback from what they were selling. So they were allowed to do that because they would make money from the people that were selling. Because, as you know, back in the Bible times, back when Moses divided all the heritage, he gave each person, each tribe had their job to do. But for the tribe of the priest, the high priest, their job was to worship God and to offer sacrifices. So they had no real job, but the people had to take care of them. So that's why they brought money into them. That's how they made their living, if you were to say. So what had happened was towards Jesus' time, they realized that making a living wasn't enough. They wanted to make more than a living. And they wanted to build houses and live grand. So they were having the people that were selling were giving them money from the overtakes of the benefits of themselves, what they were selling. So they were profiting off of what the people were selling in order to offer up a sacrifice to God. And Jesus came in and he got upset because that's his house. This is God's house. He's representing God's house. And you're turning his house into like a place of thieves because everybody's been overcharged of what they should be praying. And people are making money over something that used to be sacrificing off to God. So what really happened, what really Jesus came to realize and came to got into trouble and got into upset about, because God's house is where prophets learn, not where prophets earn. God's house are where prophets, P-R-O-P-H-E-T-S, learn from God, hear from God, and go back to the people, not where prophets, P-R-O-F-I-T-S, are earned. The house of God is where prophets learn, not where prophets earn. You shouldn't be making money off of what you're doing for Christ. You know, we shouldn't have prophets saying, if you're getting this $20 line, I'll give you a profit. If you're getting this, the more you pay, the more I'll give back to you, the more God will bless you. God doesn't bless like that. Like, you know, you say, if you give, you know, give me your preacher or the church or the priest or whatever, $100, you get a $100 blessing. God is the ruler over everything. He blesses everybody. Independent of what they give to him. It's based on our faith. It's based on our heart. It's not based on how much you have. So what was happening was so the rich were, you know, getting richer, and like we talked about before last week, and the poor were getting poor. So they're getting taxed every time. So, you know, people that buy a dove, they could barely afford it, but they're getting overtaxed just to buy a dove to sacrifice to God. Jesus wasn't pleased with that. So he drove those money changers out of the temple because they were turning God's house into sham, into a place of thieves, where thieves, a den of thieves. And if you think about that, a den of thieves, we don't call them dens nowadays, but like your living room or your sitting room or your man cave or your she, she, or she said, it's a place where you get comfortable, where you lay back and relax and enjoy whatever you are that enjoying. So in order for, that's your den. So in order for, that's my den is a man cave or the couch or something like that. But a den of thieves is a place where the thieves were comfortable doing what they were doing. That's good. So how dare a thief be comfortable in the outer courts of God? So Jesus wasn't pleased with that. Your church, your house of God, should not be a place where thieves are comfortable. The house of God should not be a place where liars are comfortable. The house of God should not be a place where people that rob and steal are comfortable. Hatred should not be a place of comfort in a church. Slavery should not be a place of comfort in a church. Racial division should not be a place of comfort in the church. Yes. Yes. Amen? Amen. Amen. So God's house had become a place where thieves or where sin, people are comfortable in their sin. God's house should not be like that. You should come to repent of your sin. You should leave your sin. You not take it back with you or get more sinful. Amen. Amen. And then another, if you look again in, I talked about the 15th verse. The 16th verse, it says, and he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. And what that meant was people were actually coming in from other parts of the other regions that didn't actually live in Jerusalem proper, but they were coming in and they were carrying their clothing. They were carrying in their different items through the temple, and they're carrying things that were not sacred through God's house. They were using it basically as a shortcut to get from point A to point B. God's house is not a shortcut.
Come on.
You should not be comfortable cutting through God's house. You should not be comfortable cutting through what God has ordained, as God has deemed holy. You should not be comfortable cutting through or making a shortcut or making not relevant anything that God makes relevant. There should be a reverence for God's house.
Yes.
There should be a reverence for God's people. There should be a reverence for the word of God. Yes. There should be a reverence for the things of God that he places into our lives and into our existence. We should have a reverential fear, a reverential respect over the house of God. We should have a reverential fear, a reverential respect over of God's house, over God's people, over God's chosen. But man has become so comfortable that they're cutting short. Cut through, like it's a shortcut through God's house. And I dare even say that man has become so comfortable that we're shortcutting even God's worship. We went through a church in Texas, a drive-through worship. This is before COVID. And it was like a half-hour worship, right? A half hour service, 15 minutes, like a 15 minute service, like a drive through service. You get in, you get out, like you get it over with. It's like you're ripping off a Band-Aid. Okay, I got Jesus out of the way. Now let me go through my life. God's worship should not be like that. You should not reverence God. You should not treat God like you're just not, like a checkbook off your daily task and daily to-do, your weekly to-do list. God requires your time. God requires your respect. God requires reverence. God requires you spending that time with him. There is, like, there's no shortcut through God. There's no shortcut to God. There's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. You can't go around it. You can't go over it. You can't go under it. So there's no shortcut through God, and there's no shortcut to God. Yeah. You always got to respect that. Amen? Amen. And so when God said, when Jesus said in the 17th verse, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it into a den of thieves. Notice he said, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, prayer for all nations, but you have made it into a den of thieves. He's actually quoting scripture when he said that. If you look in the book of Isaiah 56 chapter in the 7th verse, it says, even then I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. So that goes to tell you that God's house is not just for a people, but for all people. Our churches should not just be relegated to one type of people or one type of worship or one type of individual. It should be all nations are welcome into the house of God. All nations should be welcome into the loving arms of what Christ has for us. And God really came for all nations. Yeah. He came for us all, white, black, indifferent, you know. So it's like your church should be full of people that look different than you. It's okay. You get a different style of worship. You can't have the same type of food all the time. So why not have different types of worship? Because when you get to heaven, it's not going to be just all hymns. It's not going to be all standard. It's going to be different types of worship in different dialects and different languages and different, you know, styles. It's all going to be those different styles of worship when you get to heaven. So why not practice down here? Makes sense? God's house should be a house of prayer for all nations. And then he also quoted in Jeremiah 7 and 11, he says, has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, I, even I, have seen it, says the Lord. And like I said before, a den is a place of comfort. A den is a place of rest. A den is a place where you can take your shoes off and feel comfortable that nobody's coming in to steal from you. Nobody's coming in to attack you. So there should be no place where somebody that leads a sinful life should not feel comfortable putting their feet up or taking off their guards in the house of God. Not that we're going to attack any thieves, not that we're going to attack any sinners, but there should be something about the worship that's in your houses. There should be something about the holiness that's in your church. There's something about the holiness that we should reverence, that we should have a reverential fear of. We can't come to God any kind of way. We can't come to God in our sin and just, like, you know, say, well, God knows my heart, so I'm just going to keep sinning. Or I'm saved, but I still cuss a little. No, we're not striving to be perfect, but we're striving to be perfected. Yeah. We're striving to be daily and daily to be perfected what God wants us to be. Yeah. He doesn't want the sins we used to do. We don't want to do those anymore. And we want to keep continuing on to strive towards that place, that person that God wants us to be. He wants us to be better than where we were yesterday. So every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before, but he wants us to be sweeter as well. Yeah. Amen. So anybody that comes in contact with Jesus should have a change. Yeah. Anybody that comes in contact with the Holy Spirit, allows them to come into their hearts and search them and take out anything that's not like them, should have an outward expression, or should have some kind of on the outside that's flowing out of their outside, some kind of fruit that's growing up out of them that lets them know that I'm changed, I'm better. I wasn't what I used to be. I'm not sinless, but I might sin less. Yeah. And that's what God has called us to be. Not be perfect, but just keep striving to be better. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen. And so, at the end of this, scripture, Mark 11, the 18th chapter, 18th verse, it says, and the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his teaching. So imagine, if you will, the scribes and the chief priests, the people that wrote the word of God, and the priests that worshiped God, stood in a place of honor, stood in a place of sacrificing unto God, were mad, so upset with him, and so troubled by him, that they sought of a way to kill him and destroy him, not just to get rid of him, but to destroy him. And that's the difference. I want to hurt somebody that's, you know, done me wrong, but I don't want to destroy them. That's like remove all images of him or all remembrances. They wanted to not only just hurt him, but they wanted to destroy him. So they sought so much that Jesus got in so much trouble, he didn't care what they had to say. He didn't care, because he knew that they would get in trouble. He knew that he would get in trouble, and they knew that they wouldn't like what he had to say. But when you're confident in who you are, and when you're confident in whose you are, and when you're confident in your calling, those things don't bother you, because God's got your back. God's got you covered. So they can plot all they want. They can scheme and diabolically try to make plans all they want. But God, if you're doing what God's called you to do, you don't have to worry about all that. Because although they might try to destroy you, they're going to do nothing but help lift you up to where God wants you to be. So the chief priests and the scribes were upset, because people were hearing what they were saying. They were astonished by his words, and they were upset because Jesus got rid of all the money changers and everybody that was coming through. So they actually got upset. I wonder if they got more upset over what Jesus was saying, or more upset of because they had lost their stream of income. And a stream of revenue, that money that they were making, they're not making anymore, because Jesus came in and cast them out of there. And if you actually look earlier in other gospel scripts, this wasn't the first time that Jesus did this. If you look in the book of Matthew, he did it when he first one of his first miracles after the wedding. He went out he got actually with a rod and started beating people out, but this time he didn't beat them out. He said, "Look, I'd have told you this before." You know, turns over the tables and it's, you know, just threw everything out, threw the coins on the ground. It's like, everybody get out, get all this stuff out of here. And this, my house does not be like this. So were they upset more than what he was saying, or more upset because of what the money that they were making, they wouldn't be able to make anymore? Hmm. Which God were they serving? Wow. And so Jesus was okay with what they, you know, what his calling, and he was secure of his job. He was secure in his role, and he was secure in his word, that he knew what God wants, because he was who God wants, because he was the word of God in flesh. And he said, look, I want to call you out to let you know that you're living wrong. I want to call you out that you're looking at the wrong thing. I want to call you out, let you know that you're serving the wrong God. Your money is not your God. Mammon is not your God. You should be serving the God, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He's going to take care of your needs. Worship him in all your ways. All your ways, acknowledge him. He's going to direct your path. Yeah. So just live by God, what God's called you to do, and he's going to direct you. So I said all that. And so they got together and they started to having their little schemes, and they got together with the Pharisees and Sadducees, and they plot how they should kill him. And they decided that we're going to have one of his disciples, you know the story, come together and plot up to kill him and to offer up him. And they're going to take him to be judged and be brought to Pontius Pilate. And he was actually crucified and killed and died. But what they didn't realize is that when they lifted Jesus up off the cross, that's when that's when the scripture was fulfilled. So when I be lifted up unto the earth, I'm going to draw all men unto me. So what they didn't realize, when they were lifting him up on the cross, they were actually fulfilling the scripture, and Jesus was lifted up for all men to see that he is the King of Kings, he's the Lord of Lords. But most of all, he came down to be our sacrifice. He came down to be our sacrificial lamb, to die for us, to take our place and pay that debt of sin that we could not pay. And because of that, we are having access. We have rightness to get to God. We have a direct access through Jesus Christ. No shortcut anymore. We go directly through him to get to God, to get our salvation, to get our deliverance, to get our healing, to get what God has called us to be, to actually live the life that God wants us to live. He wants us to live victorious. He wants us to live in harmony with him. So Jesus is that way. He, once they put him on that cross, he shed his blood and died for us. He fulfilled the scripture and made a way for all of us. He was that way, the avenue. He was that the way to God. And we are now reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And that's why even when Jesus got into good trouble, he was fulfilling his destiny. He was fulfilling his calling. Even when he got into good trouble so much that he got to the cross, he was fulfilling his destiny. He was fulfilling his calling. And he made a way that the scripture could be fulfilled. Now the church of God or the house of God is a place for all nations, because now all nations can come to God through him.
Yes.
And we thank God for that.
Amen.
And so I said all that, and I say this all the time. We come now to the place where now that we know that Jesus got into good trouble for me, he got into good trouble for you. He didn't care about who we pissed off. We didn't care about who you made upset, but he got into good trouble for us because he knew he had to pay that price. He had to pay that we couldn't pay. And the way of Tree of Life, the way to get to salvation is through him. So I invite you, anybody that wants to have that gift of salvation, you don't have to bargain for it. You don't have to beg. You don't have to trade. You don't have to, you know, look at the price tag and say, well, how about if I give you this? How about if I give you that? All you need to do is just ask Christ into your heart. And he'll come in. I call it the ABCs of salvation. John 3:16-17 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Here they are, the ABCs of salvation. A, you want to acknowledge or admit that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. Romans 3:23 says, for we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. B, believe that not only Jesus died for our sins, but that he rose from the grave. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And C, confess your faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. That's the ABCs of salvation. You want to acknowledge, you want to believe, and you want to confess. And it's just that simple. And if you want, we can pray this prayer together. Let's pray. Close your eyes. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray, amen, amen. Listen, if you prayed this prayer with us for the first time, second time, third time, or if you're looking for a place to come back to God or to a place to worship, we are here for you. We are here to worship with you. We are here to welcome you in with open arms, not judging you. We don't care what you look like or how you come in, because we only care how you go out, because we are all called to do a work. We are all called to love on God, to love God's people. So we are looking for those who are lost. We're looking for those who are willing to worship with God, willing to worship his people. I need you to text the word all in, A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831-3377. Again, text the word all in to A-L-L-I-N to 609-831-3377. Listen, thank you so much for joining with us. You couldn't have done it. You could have spent your time elsewhere. And I'm grateful. I love you guys. God bless you.